For the first time.
Then Rahuguna mistreated him and Jarabharata desired to give him spiritual knowledge. He began to speak. He spoke so many things that are appearing in the previous volume. I don't have that with me here. But in that volume, whatever he spoke could not be understood by anybody very easily. So later on, Rahuguna sought clarification from him. What is what? So here Sukadeva Goswami explains in the chapter everything like Prabhupada writes here. So the direct meaning of the forest of mental existence is given in this chapter. Prabhupada is writing here. So elsewhere Prabhupada says this. Then King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest. Sukadeva Goswami replied as follows. So this explanation is given by whom? Sukadeva Goswami, for our benefit. Because what Jarabharata spoke to Rahuguna cannot be understood easily. It is there in the previous chapter. He is only speaking analogies which were supposed to be understood by Rahuguna. So here he is giving a very good explanation. My dear King, Sukadeva Goswami replied as follows. My dear King, a man belonging to a Makinda community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth and sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by material atmosphere created by the external energy of the Lord. The living entity comes under the control of external energy, living independently and bewildered in the forest. He does not attain the association of devotees of the Lord. Once the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after another, under the influence of material energy, and impelled by the modes of material nature. So in this way, the living entity is awarded an external body, which is external to the soul. Just like you want to, you know, dive into the water. Then, inside water, in order to breathe, what do you need? What does a fish have? Lungs. So we need a special type of lung to survive in water. So we need oxygen bottles. Similarly, you also need, you know, some goggles to protect your eyes from water entering it. So you may wear a goggles for that. Similarly, the fishes have got something to steer, fins they have. So you need some kind of facility to steer in the water. So if you see the divers going into water, sometimes you find them having all this facility. They have oxygen bottles behind and everything. So our material body is compared to that. A pure devotee considers his material body to be like a, you know, big bunch of bones, a burden. I can read the Bhaktivinoda Thakur what he says. One, there is a very nice poem of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. See, he's saying here. Now this is... very nice. There are two quotes, very interesting quotes. In one of his excesses, Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear friends, unless I serve the transcendental form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna, all my days and all my senses will become entirely useless. Now I am uselessly bearing the burden of my senses, which are like stone blocks and dried wood." Which are like? So bones are like stone blocks and body is like dried wood. "I do not know how long I will be able to continue without shame." How long will I be able to continue without shame? Lord Chaitanya is saying. And then there is another one by Sarvajna Acharya. Describes such an attitude. He is saying, not only the soul's material covering, but the whole material existence is discerned by the pure soul as an unnatural encumbrance. In the same way as one may feel the pressure of a bundle of wood. Actually he is saying, "Oh my Lord, how extraordinary your devotees are. For them the wide ocean is like a tiny puddle. The sun like a firefly. The looming golden mountain Sumeru like a lump of dirt. A powerful emperor like a minor servant. Priceless jewels like useless stones. Desert trees like dried twigs. For them, the whole material existence is like an insignificant bundle of straw." What else to say? They regard their own body as a useless burden. So this is the standard of a pure devotee. How a pure devotee considers his body to be So I was very inspired by this sentence. Even we hear something similar in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur song also. What is the song? Dullabha Manava Janma, Lavya Samsara. He says how this body is simply a bundle of bones and flesh and all abominable substances that is to ultimately to be burnt to, you know, ashes in the graveyard. So the living entity takes up this external body and unfortunately identifies himself with it. There lies the real problem, as he is explaining here. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord, like bumblebees who are constantly sitting on flowers and sucking out honey. I don't know, but somewhere else that example is given. Devotees of Krishna are compared to be like bumblebees who are constantly sitting in the flower and sucking honey. So they are always in the lotus feet of Krishna. So they are compared to the bumblebees are compared to the devotees. So once in the bodily conception, he gets different type of bodies, one after another, under the influence of material energy, impelled by modes of nature. So he suffers continuously due to different type of bodies. The sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed, sometimes severe, and sometimes they are not. So in this way, living entity continues suffering in this world. Sri Prabhupada in the purport is telling a very interesting point. City life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. People rush about in cars, going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going. And this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at a breakneck speed. There is always the danger of an accident. And one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties. And the struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from the human beings, other species like cats and dogs are also struggling very hard day and night for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues. And the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. So, Prabhupada is explaining here the anxieties in the life of a man in Kali Yuga. Here he is explaining here. Since the material world is compared here into a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. So, one man used to, you know, cross a village which had a dense, dark jungle. He used to cross that village and then go to the neighborhood village where there used to be Mangalarti. And there used to be Mangalarti and chanting of devotees. So every day this devotee had to walk through the dense jungle. And then he would reach the other village where he was participating in Mangalarti, chanting sindowns. And then he would return. So one time when Sanyasi was giving lecture, he asked this person, you know, that every day you are crossing this jungle. So how do you manage to go through this jungle? Because jungle was infested with so many animals like tigers and lions and every time he used to even make a mention that whenever he would go through the jungle, he would hear those, you know, roaring of the animals when he passed through the jungle. So this man said, of course I'm taking a stick with me whenever I go in order to protect myself. But actually he said, I'm not as afraid as when I was in Bombay. You know, he said, here when I go to the forest, I'm not as afraid as I was in Bombay. He said, so what he meant was, city is a concrete jungle where there are, this was his understanding. He said, city is a concrete jungle where there are deadly, ferocious, blood-drinking animals which are always envious of other living entities trying to suck their blood. This was his comment about the city. And it is not far from truth. What he is saying is true. We can find how one's Krishna consciousness can be at great stake in a city, one is living in city. So Prabhupada is comparing here modern city to jungle. One time Prabhupada's disciples told him, Prabhupada was telling when he was giving a lecture, he said that, you know, Lord Chaitanya was so exalted that he went into the Jharkhand forest and delivered all the animals like, you know, tigers and elephants and deers and all kinds of animals, with all of them with their arms raised, happily chanted and danced along with Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada said, you know, we are not so potent or powerful. We are insignificant in front of Lord Chaitanya. But then one disciple commented, Prabhupada, you have also done something similar. You have come to the city of New York, which is actually a concrete jungle, which is having tall, tall buildings, all kinds. It's a, instead of trees you find tall concrete jungle, huh? tall concrete buildings you find. So he came into jungle and we all are like animals, he said. They're even more difficult to change animals, living in this forest of New York. You delivered all of us. So that's the Prabhupada is calling here the city as a jungle. So the word jungle is actually allegory given here to illustrate the point that in a jungle sometimes we lose track. When you go into a jungle, what happens? You don't know which is the road that will lead you to outside. That's why it is explained here that this merchant who goes into the jungle, he actually is going out of greed to get some wood, to get some material, some sand, which he can sell in the market and make more money. But then in the course of searching for that, you know, he gradually goes inside, so deeply, you know. And then at one point of time, he loses his road and he doesn't know how to come out. So our condition is exactly the same in a material world. So we all came to the material world with the idea of having some separate enjoyment from Krishna. But then now we forgot the track back to Godhead. And not just one or two, like millions of lifetimes pass away. Just like a moment, millions of lifetimes pass away. And then, I don't know where is it. Somewhere it is mentioned that later on one comes in contact with the devotee of Lord Vishnu. That will come later on, I think.
Just want to clarify the word condition, because in the translation first it comes, this condition soul due to greed enters the forest, and again the same word comes that accepting bodies and remaining in this material world he becomes conditioned. So before entering also he is called conditioned soul?
No, he is not called conditioned. Condition means, like we say air condition visa, that means you are conditioning the air and bringing about a particular atmosphere which is not there outside. So in spiritual world the soul is very pure. But when he enters the material realm, then he is conditioned to behave in certain ways like an insane person. Like I and mine. I am so and so and this belongs to me. Like Prabhupada said, you know, America, you know, was not known to anybody for a long time. You know, our Columbus, you know, he came in search of India. But then he reached where? America. But when he went, already there were Red Indians there, living there. So he thought it's an uninhabited land, so we can occupy it. But then there were already some people living there who were like tribals. But then these new people went to America and put their flag, they started dominating the place, then they threw Red Indians out, there was a big fight, you know. They were considered like outcasts. And then now they are claiming proprietorship over that land. And Prabhupada says, who knows, tomorrow America is going to be in the hands of Americans. Somebody else may take over also. So this is actually aham amethi, proprietorship. I and mine. So this proprietorship is there with the living entity. How did it come? It is actually anartha. I am trying to possess some. So actually everything belongs to Krishna. This is ideal understanding. But the living entity, when he comes into the world, he gets certain diseased symptoms. What are the diseases? One is to think, I am this body. First disease. Second is developing a hatred for Krishna. And not wanting to accept God or surrender to him. Third is to think, I am the proprietor. So let me, this place is belong to me. And also they are becoming attached to everything that is pertaining to my body. And this is my book, this is my pen, this is my family, this is my wife, who is supposed to give pleasure to me. So one thing is like that. And my nation. So all this is actually anartha sikam, which is called as conditioning. So by conditioning a person behaves in a particular way. Like say if a person is conditioned by a ghost, so he doesn't speak normal words, you know, he speaks very crazy man. So we all have become conditioned to behave in a particular way. Very, very unfortunate.
At start, this condition word is used in translation. So what does that signify?
Where is it here?
First, the condition so is infatuated by greed, it enters the material or something like that.
Yeah. Sometimes it enters by the king, a man belonging to the marginal community, is always just earning money. Sometimes he enters the powers of person, ship, commercial, good and earth. Similarly, the conditions of being greedy enters this material world for the material profit. Yeah, that means it's an illusion to soul. In the spiritual world also, when did we leave the spiritual world? Only Krishna knows, we don't know. But then suddenly it is true that the living entity wanted to be separate. So it's called condition. Yeah. Having entered the forest, not really knowing how to get out. So, so many diseases we have. Sometimes we will be discussing on that second one, overcoming anarthas. So many anarthas we have, unlimited anarthas to clear up. So, we have to clear up the anarthas in order to develop taste for holy name actually. Sometimes we will discuss on that class. So, Baba is saying here, for a while he is a child, but then he has to become a boy. From boy he has to change into youth. And from youth to manhood, and then to old age. Finally, when body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Even if the body is called as death. That means this is also one of the conditioning of the material world, that you know, whether one wants or not, one has to change bodies. Whether one wants or not, one has to be inflicted by varieties of sufferings. So how many things are there in the material world, you see? Conditionings. In the forest of material existence, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, but unfortunately the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring and willing. In this way the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses. And thus, all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by plundering the senses. So, there is a quote, Purva Janman Arjita Avidya, Purva Janman Arjitam Dhanam, Agre Dhavati Dhavati. The meaning of this statement is like this, that in Purva Janma, whatever good deeds you do, that brings forth some results in the next life. Like for example, somebody did some good deeds due to which he gets money in a multiplied amount. Like for example, say you gave some charity to a Brahmana. Now you have got 1,000 times more money. So why is that 1,000 times money awarded to you? Anybody knows? Yes. And that's what he's saying here. It's for the execution of religious principles. But it is taken away by plundering senses. So all of us are endowed with some talent or some facilities. Like richness is a facility. Like some intelligence is a facility. So birth in a high family is a facility. So these facilities are all given to the conditioned soul for advancement, but the senses plunder them away. That's why they're called as plunderers. Plunderers means like thieves. There's a, you know, a nice verse for that. Jnana ratna apaharaya tasma jagrati jagrata. Kamaha krodhascha lobhascha tishtanti daskaraha. Jnana ratna apaharaya tasma jagrati jagrata. So kama, krodha, lobha, they are all considered to be like plunderers in this body, sitting in this body. Actually, these are three thieves sitting in this body who are unseen by us. So they steal away the soul's valuable wisdom that we achieve. That's why even a man of wisdom, if he's not careful, he can become a prey to these three things. Kama, krodha, lobha. If he falls prey, then he becomes plundered. Like a millionaire becomes a beggar. So we also become devoid of wisdom. So a wise man acts like a fool when he is afflicted by these three things, kama, krodha, lobha, like that. So here he is telling seeing, smelling, touching, hearing. A typical example is of Ajamila. Ajamila was born in a Brahmana family and his father had told him to go and bring some flowers and come. So he actually went to bring flowers for puja, you know. So he was a wise man. Brahmana means a wise man, Pandita, Pandita Samadarshana. But although he was a Pandita, his mind became bewildered because he had the desire to do these five things. Seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing. Material desire that actually took over. And he fell prey. So, here he is saying, for a conditioned soul, these are all actually plunderers. They are plunderers. The quote is very wonderful. Many interesting points. By executing religious principle under the laws of Varnashrama Dharma, one is placed in a comfortable position. One may very easily use his assets for further advancement of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind. One should understand that the wealth and opportunity one gets in the material world should not be squandered for sense gratification. They are meant for advancement of Krishna consciousness. Thus, the Krishna movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind in five knowledge of transcendence is a definite process. One should practice a little austerity and not spend money on anything other than the regulated life of devotional service. The senses demand that one see beautiful things. Therefore, money should be spent for decorating the deity in the temple. Similarly, tongue has to taste good food, which should be bought and offered to the deity. So, people are selling for outside people. We want to see beautiful things, so we decorate Krishna and see his beauty. Some people do that. We were reading another purport the other day, that Prabhupada says wealthy merchants, they try to spend a lot of their money to build the temples of Radha and Krishna so that they will not be called as thieves. You remember that? Another day we were studying the purport. Because they know very well, all this is Krishna's money, and if I don't give in charity, then I will be called as a thief. So, if one wants to see beautiful things, the Prabhupada says money should be spent for decorating the deity in the temple and see the beauty. Similarly, the tongue has to taste good food. So better you buy food and offer it to deity and then accept it. Like that every one of the senses is explaining. Thus a good position might not be spoiled by material sense gratification. One spoils an opulent position in the material world by driving cars. See, this is a very interesting point. Here Prabhupada is saying, what is vikarma? He's saying here. One spoils an opulent position in the material world by driving cars, spending time in nightclubs, or tasting abominable food in restaurants. In these ways, the plundering senses take away all the assets that the conscious soul has acquired with great difficulty. So you will see many people going for gambling, especially wealthy people. They go for gambling on a large scale and they squander all the money. I have seen families where brothers, one brother is like a millionaire, another brother is a beggar. You have seen that? Because they have whiled away. They have squandered all the wealth that was provided to them by their father. Or they may, sometimes the person becomes attached to a woman and then she takes away all the money. This way, to decorate her, to give her gold, silver, decorate her body. And because she also knows that this man is attached to me, she knows the knack of slowly, sucking his blood, taking away all the money. So this way, the conditioned soul, owing to these five plundering senses, so all the things come under this five category, five senses. So conscious soul unfortunately loses all the hard-earned wealth. So here the result is explained. What happens? Although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Even if a man is vigilant, in front of his eyes, his family members take away all his assets forcibly. Just like he's giving an example here. The herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability. But the tigers and foxes take them away by force. This is the example given. So tigers and foxes actually in front of the eyes of herdsman, they take away by force. And he has no say. He cannot speak a word when his money is taken away. Actually, this thing happens because of attachment only. Like if you see the condition of Dhritarashtra, he was attached to his son. So who was sitting in the throne? Dhritarashtra was sitting in the throne. But who was actually conducting the kingdom? Duryodhana, going to attachment. So Dhritarashtra became like a play toy in the hands of Duryodhana. He had no say at all. And every time Duryodhana would commit a mistake, he would shout at him and, admonish him. But then at last Duryodhana knows what will happen is what I say. That was the... So in the same way, in a family, like a wife becomes a queen and conducts all the activities of her husband and the children. And children are also people who swindle all the money. Later on it is explained how the wealth is swindled. It is explained later on. Here I will talk sections which are very relevant to brahmacharis. Sometimes, as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind, the conditioned soul sees the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called pramada. Anybody knows the verse using the word pramada? No. Nanvagni pramada nama dhritakumbha samakpuma. What is the third line? Nanvagni Pramada Anava. The woman is called as Pramada. Pramada means one who is capable of making a man mad. Nanvagni Pramada Nama. Gritakumba Samapuman. Gritakumba means like a man is compared to a better part, a moment of fire. So, Nanvagni Pramada Nama, the very name, if one hears the name of a woman, can agitate the mind of a man. What to speak of? Contact of the woman. So he's saying here, sometimes as if blinded by the dust of the world, when the conscience also sees the bitter opposite, which is called Pramada, being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman. And at the time, his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desire and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. He does not know that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods, and he enjoys illicit sex in the dead of the night, not seeing the future punishment awaiting him. See, the conditioned soul sometimes personally appreciates the futility of sense enjoyment in the material world, and he sometimes considers material enjoyment to be full of miseries. However, due to his strong bodily conception, his memory is destroyed, and again he runs after the material enjoyment, just as an animal runs after the mirage in a desert. So here one interesting observation we make here, that if we have strong bodily conception, our memory is destroyed. So that is a corollary point mentioned here. That means even if you know something is bad, people anyway do it. Huh? Why? Because of strong bodily enjoyment. Huh? Because the memory is destroyed. Sometimes people knowingly they jan bujhi kar disa na, knowingly jananna api atmano ahitam. What that was? Drishta shrutabhyam yat papam jananna api atmano ahitam karoti bhuyo vivashaha. Vivashaha means helplessly, prayaschita matavakata. So jananna api atmano ahitam, janan means knowingly a person indulges in such activities, because actually memory is destroyed. That's the problem. So, how many of you have this experience that your memory is destroyed? All of us will have this problem. So, of course, this shouldn't discourage you from making sankalpa. You make sankalpa means making vows. So, we can make vows to follow certain things, although we may fall short of it. Like, you know, I used to think every night when I go to bed, I should think of Lord Narasimhadev, you know. But then I was sleeping and that doesn't come to mind. Because any time you may die also in the middle of the night, who knows? Some earthquake comes and the building falls on us, we'll be finished. So, a devotee should think of Lord Narasimhadev while going to bed. And the next day when you wake up, you should think of Gajendra, how he was given the moksha by the Lord. To think, you know, okay, today night I'll think of, you know, clinging to the mind, this one, that one, and then gradually you go to sleep. So sometimes we make sankalpa and we don't follow it. So you try our best to follow. So our memory is destroyed because we are attached. We are attached to some material enjoyment. So, and in the same way, like we talk about the, you know, mamsava, etam mamsava sadhi vikara manasi vichinteya varam varam. You know that we talk about how horrible is the body of opposite sex. The stool, during, pus, bile, mucus, air, and everything we say that. But when one looks at the body of opposite sex, then one becomes bewildered by the form aspect of Maya. So that's the arrangement of Maya to deteriorate the intelligence of a conditioned soul. So it's Maya has that capability. She is so powerfully empowered, you know, that she can destroy the intelligence of a conditioned soul. Even little intelligence we have, she can destroy it. That's why we need Krishna's help very much. So he says here, due to strong bodily conception, his memory is destroyed. So what is within our reach is, we should try to reduce our bodily conception. We should try to reduce our bodily conception. So much is there, is it? Really? Who made that earlier? Really? What could be done? Is something to recover from However, due to his strong bodily conception, his memory is destroyed. And again he runs after the Mittal enjoyment. Just as an animal runs after a mirage in the desert. Prabhupada says the main disease in material life is the bodily conception. Being baffled again and again in material activity, the condition so temporarily things of the future of material enjoyment. Same thing which is in the 10th offense. What is 10th offense? Even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. How many times have been told the material enjoyment, there is no enjoyment in the material world. It is simply like a mirage. How many examples you have heard? It's like a drop of water in a desert. It's like a kasturi mrid chasing after the smell here and there. Or it is like a deep dark well which is covered by grass. You know, you put your feet on the grass and you sink deeply. Innumerable examples you have heard, but all these examples, God knows where they go. When an opportunity comes to enjoy. Isn't it? So that's what he says. Memory is destroyed. So that's a devotee should pray that, my dear Lord, please give me the memory at the right time. Avismitistacharanaradinde, bhave bhave mestu bhavat prasada. Avismitistacharanaradinde. Please give me memory to remember you at the right time. So that I will not become bewildered. So bewilderment can come to even the topmost living entity like Brahma. Brahma became bewildered by seeing his most beautiful daughter started running after her. So if Brahma could be bewildered, what is our situation? But one should pray to the Lord to make one free from this kind of bewilderment. So the main disease in material life is bodily conception. This is the main disease. So I was reading this yesterday, one of the small books of Prabhupada is saying that a devotee not only should read theory intellectually and have discussions, but at every point of time throughout the day, morning to night, should always try to live on the platform of soul. So how many of us remember that we are the soul while doing activities? Very, very difficult. The bodily conception is so thick that we identify with our name, we identify with our body, identify with our family members, relationships, with our surname, and all that. Very strongly deep-rooted. So it's very difficult. Actually, this is the sole cause of our inattention and chanting. Because of such bodily identification, there is something called as Bhuta Shuddhi we do before we enter the deity room. So Bhuta Shuddhi means there is a prayer which you offer, Oh, my dear Supreme Lord, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other, due to some great misfortune on my part, I came into this material world, and now I have accepted a gross body and a subtle body, and I am struggling to derive some material enjoyment in this world. Now by some unknown good fortune, unimaginable good fortune, I came in touch with devotees of the Lord, and now I am engaged in your devotion service, because one of your few devotees has accepted me as a servant, and I am engaged in your devotion service. So please. So when we say this, we are supposed to completely meditate that, I am actually a pure soul, I am covered over by grass and subtle covering. Then we enter the puja room. So we actually address the Lord, remembering that we are actually a soul, eternal servant of the Lord. That understanding we do. So this Bhuta Shuddhi is not only an activity we have to do while entering the deity room, but one should remember this fact, I am actually a spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna. I have to serve him. So Prabhupada writes there that when you are doing activities in the material world, in material consciousness, they are called material activities. And activities done, remembering I am soul servant of Krishna, only those are Krishna conscious activities. That means how much of our activities are Krishna conscious is really questionable, isn't it? So, at least one should endeavor in that direction. Otherwise, this main disease of material life is there very much. I was writing here, how Krishna takes away that material consciousness. So he's saying here that by association of devotees, a person may be convinced of the material futility, but he cannot give up his engagement. Although he is very eager to return home back to Godhead. That means even after association of devotees, sometimes a man, even after hearing about the material futility, still is unable to give up the sense gratification. So this is our situation in the material world. One is unable to give up one's engagement because we have the material identity still. So we are still engaged in sense gratification. So what does the Lord do? He is saying here, Krishna, who is situated in the heart of everyone, compassionately takes away all the material possessions of such a devotee. Krishna takes away everything from such a devotee whom he especially favors when the devotee is overly attached to material possessions. When everything is taken away, the devotee feels helpless and frustrated in society, friendship and love. He feels that his family does not care for him any longer. And he therefore completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna. This is a special favor granted by the Lord to a devotee who cannot fully surrender to the Lord due to strong bodily conception. See? If I was saying somebody has strong bodily conception, Krishna wants to favor him, then he takes away. Krishna is saying, this is the material shelter you are taking, I will take that away. Then how will he take shelter? Then he runs here and there and ultimately comes to Krishna, okay, at least here I will get shelter. Like that. Contradictory. A person can be sincere but unable to execute the instructions of devotional service. It's possible. There are many people who say, Prabhuji, no, I'm not able to give up meat eating, you know, my parents are pushing me. You've seen there are many people who say like that. But at a very gross level, but at a subtle level also, we are all trying to practice devotion. Like many of us, we have become brahmachari in the ashram now. But whether everyone can remain brahmachari lifelong is a question. Now everyone is sincere. Everyone is executing devotional service every morning, every evening, we are doing so many things. But then time will tell, you know. As time goes on, sometimes a person is trying his best, but then he is unable to, he is sincere. So that is the meaning of sincerity is there, but due to his past conditioning, he is unable to. So past conditioning is like a big heavy burden on his head. Person sometimes is unable to escape past conditioning. Of course, it is said devotional service can burn out, you know, all the previous sins. But then for devotional service to burn out, devotional service has to be very intense, you know, very, very intense. Tivra. Tivrena bhakti. Tivrena bhakti yogena. I have seen also many devotees who are very sincere but unable to give up material engagements and material friendship. They are struggling. So then between. So Krishna will first facilitate them. Krishna will take away everything. And then he says, no, Swacharana Amrita Diya, Amrita Bulaipa. He says, no. What is that word? Anavigya Yayimurka Vishayakana Diba, Swacharana Amrita Diya, Amrita Bulaipa. He says, why should I give him material enjoyment? Vishay Bulaipa. Swacharana Amrita Diya, Vishay Bulaipa. Correct. I'll make him forget the Vishay and I'll give my own Charanamrita to such a devotee. And then, actually, that is a stage when a devotee is very restless, he says. On one hand, he finds his relatives and friends are ridiculing him. And relatives and friends don't like to associate with him because he wants to take Krishna's shelter. And the whole world, you know, appears to be in turmoil for such a devotee. But then Krishna is there, you know, inviting him, come. Then a devotee takes shelter of Krishna. It's very interesting. See, he is saying the Lord understands the devotee who hesitates to engage in the Lord's service, not knowing whether he should again try to revive his material life. After repeated attempts and failures, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord then gives him directions and attaining happiness, he forgets all material engagement. That means, when a devotee is trying to engage in material activities, then the Lord gives him kicks. So he gets the kicks, but he feels that probably I didn't try well. I should adopt some other methods to, you know, advance materially. So he keeps trying various methods. At last, Lord completely withdraws everything. So a person helplessly surrenders to Krishna. And then, although he is bewildered in the beginning, but then Lord gives him afterwards directions and then he gets happiness and he forgets all material engagement. So this is our condition. So it is actually saved by Krishna. Such a devotee becomes a nishkinchana. So this can be even for it's not necessary that a person has to be brahmachari or sannyasi. Generally, this is used for sannyasi. What a Prabhupada is saying, Namacharya Sannyasi who has become completely a Nishkinchana. But it can be even for somebody who is a Grihastha, who has relinquished all his worldly affairs, completely engaged in Krishna service. There are people like that, who possess only Krishna. There are people like that. So it depends on the quality of a devotee. What kind of person is a devotee? So there is always in our heart a small lingering in our heart that maybe there is some happiness in this world. Maybe this will give happiness. But as one advances more and more, one comes to see God, one can clearly see, oh, this is suffering. This is suffering. Horrible. One can understand this is not something that can give happiness. Only in avidya, ignorance, a person can think the body to be a source of pleasure. Actually, you know, we all think body, many of us, we all feel we have a young body, a beautiful body, we have an energetic body. So these are all actually coming from avidya, delusion. So pure devotee considers his body as a lump of flesh which you have to carry on your shoulders. It's a burden. It's considered like a burden. So one gives up this material conception, how the job is done. Because, you know, then one can reinstate oneself in spiritual identity. So we'll talk more when we talk about the 10th offense. Anybody has any points to say? Anybody? So when we keep on talking about material attachment and material consciousness, you know, then only we can come to spiritual consciousness. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. But keep reminding ourselves again and again. That's why I thought 10th offense is very meaningful to talk. Because bodily consciousness is one which doesn't allow us to attentively chant. But as long as you're bodily conscious, then you're afraid about certain things. Whether this is going to happen like this, if that happens, what will happen? I will try to make some adjustment. And also, on one hand, there is fear. On the other hand, there are some desires. You're smiling to yourself. I'll do this. If only that happens, I'll do like that. Making plans. On one hand, making plans for a better future. On the other hand, tackling the problems that come now, you know. So if this problem will come, I'll do this, like that, you know. I'll face this problem like this. So both the living entity is doing, That is the meaning of akanksha. Na shochati, na kankshati. Kankshati means actually hankering. So he's having many, many desires. How can I? So he's always making plan, constantly sitting in the vehicle of his body. Yantraru dhani mayaya. Brahmayan. He goes on Brahman, running around. So, actually, he had to become free from this material hankering and material lamentation. Actually, that is the point when one comes to a clearing stage. Chanting will really take effect. That means chanting is purifying our heart. Actually, otherwise, you know, you are chanting, but purification doesn't take place. It's just, you are performing our duty. Hoping that someday, you know, you will come to clearing stage.
There is one question about this clearing stage. I just want to clarify about this clearing. Sometimes we see that externally, it's like in the chanting. Like these are the external aspects. Because of that, we may misunderstand. So I have another question. How to understand this?
I can tell you only my understanding, because we asked this question to Sanat Mahaprabhu. You were there? And we asked this question to Sanat Mahaprabhu. You were not there? He gave a class here. So we asked about sleeping. Of course, he said, you can't say advanced devotee sleeping, it's improper. And they might not have got enough rest. Then he was giving the example of Janani Vastavu in Mayapur, no? The class is sleeping like this. And Prabhupada told somebody that you ask him anything from the class, he can answer. And he said he could answer, he said. But I said, I can't believe it. A person can answer everything from the class. But I can tell you one thing. He may be sleeping in the class, but he has a thorough understanding of philosophy. So his eagerness to come to class is to, sit and hear as much as he can. But then he may be sleeping. He may not exactly tell what went on in the class, but he may have a sound understanding of philosophy. I told him like that. Anyway, we didn't get any answer that could resolve this question. But my understanding is like this, that if a devotee is sleeping during his japa, it could be due to various reasons, Like it could be because he slept late night several days. You know, for example, 5 days you sleep late and one day you sleep at 9 o'clock only, you know, and the next day you wake up. It doesn't help much. So steadily one has to take rest. So many of the sannyasis in the movement, if you see, they're traveling far and wide and, you know, they hardly get any rest. That's one thing. Another thing, there are some bodily disorders which put off a person to sleep, you know. One cannot, as soon as the person sits, you know, especially the walk, and it goes to the head, you know, completely puts off a person. Completely with wide open mouth, he goes to sleep like that. So now the question arises, okay, that means bodily impediment, can they affect the person's chanting or quality of chanting? It's a good question. So impediments may be there, but the devotee's quality cannot be affected. Like he gave the example Jaya Swami. Like a driver is very healthy and he is a very great expert in driving, he has no problem. But then if the car has got a, you know, accident due to which the car cannot go fast now, it has become like a dabba now, you know. So he is driving. So there is an inconvenience in the car, not in the driver. That's what our Jaya Swami was explaining earlier. So another explanation, like Raghunath Swami was telling this. He said, you know, somebody is sitting in the front of the class and trying to hear the class. And he's falling like this, you know. He's feeling asleep, you know, and he's making notes. How do we understand? Many senior devotees cannot sleep like that. So generally our judgment is always superficial. Every day, like somebody gives a lecture, he gives examples you have never heard, and people say, then I went to Tirupati once. And there they told me to speak, and just a week before that, in, you know, Jayapur's place, I spoke on Madhuri Kadambini, you know. So when I went to Tirupati, they told me to speak. Then I thought, what can I speak all of a sudden? Then I took the same thing and the other Shabdasas and Bhajana Kriyantam, which I explained all the steps and substages, everything. Up to Prema, you know. So after finish, which the president came and told me, Puji, your devotees in our temple told that you are on a different platform only. Actually, I said, yes, I am a different platform, you are here, I am here, I told him. Lower platform. You know? I told, these things are very easy to speak. And it is very easy to quote Sanskrit verses. But then, to get any, even a bit of realization, very, very difficult. Like Jesus said, you know, one can speak like a mountain, but if one does a mustard seed, then it's great, it's something great. Like that. So, realization is very important, more important. And generally people make superficial judgments, generally. Whether, like for example, somebody is singing in a very melodious voice. So people immediately make a judgment that, oh, he's singing so devotionally, you know. How do you know he's singing devotionally? Only Krishna can know. Like, you know, this professional singer Jagat Singh, you know, cassette we have. Hare Krishna, Jagadit Singh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one man, he's an auditor in Pune. I think so. And Banerjee Park, the way, so he's a world life member, very world life member. I have to suddenly come to temple every day. He said, I have no time, I'm busy, this, that. So I was in the car, so he put on this cassette. And then it was going on, and he was singing, driving in one hand, and you know, showing hand like this. Completely absorbed in ecstasy, you know. It's wonderful. He's singing with so much devotion. I didn't make any comments. But, you know, whether a person is singing with devotion or not, only Krishna will know. Simply singing melodiously doesn't make it devotional. So, sweetly singing, you know, or giving very lofty lectures doesn't make a person a great devotee. So, Krishna will know the core of the heart of devotee. So, some devotee is trying to chant the holy name, so he's falling asleep. So, only Krishna can know whether this person is realized or he's not realized. Or, like, there is one aspect in chanting, which is called as laya, which is also one of the anarthas, you know. Laya. It's also one of the anarthas, which come in one of the stages, you know. And one is chanting more and more. Before one comes to Shuddhanam, there is anartha called laya. So there are five anarthas, one of which is the kashaya, laya, raga, dvesha, like that. There are five anarthas there. Vikshepa, distraction. So that laya also comes. I sleep. So maybe it is one of the anarthas, or it is not anartha, we do not know actually. Very difficult to know. Certainly, we shouldn't say that I'll continue to sleep like this. One should actually endeavor to avoid sleep. Sleeping and mind wandering, both have to be avoided. Very, very important. Otherwise, chanting cannot take effect without these two. Mind is wandering, we are muttering the rounds, hardly any benefit. Simply, he's saying, simply a mouth exercise. So he's saying, you know, it's better for the Harvata. Unless the devotee prays from the heart, there is no use of, laboring with the mouth, he's saying. So he should certainly, laboring with the mouth. It's a nice exercise for the jaws. So, mind wandering and sleep. Mind wandering arising due to passion and sleep due to ignorance.
Sleep, there is no labor.
So, we have to avoid both. Actually, we should not judge our sleep also. We should ask others. Generally, I ask the other devotees only whether I slept during chanting. Or how many times. Like, you know, people write us sleep hits, no? Many times they write ourselves. But if you ask others, it might be a bigger number, you know? So, we think I slept only twice or once, no? Ask others, they will tell you you slept 10 times. You know? To ask others. That's why we need a circle, Japasatra. Sri Prabhupada ki. Karina. Mahamantra ki.